This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So one Palm Sunday, there was a little girl, and she had a sore throat. And so she had to stay home with a sitter. This was back in the good old days, right, when everybody went to church every Sunday. When the rest of the family came home, they were carrying palm branches, much like the ones that you all have today. And the little girl asked what they were for. And so her father told her that the people held them up in the air and waved them around, cheering for Jesus. And as he walked by, they shouted. They were so excited that Jesus had come, and some people would lay them down for Jesus to walk over. The little girl was quiet for a moment, and then this look of great sadness fell across her face. And in a voice of great disappointment, the little girl said, "Wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday I miss, and Jesus shows up." Today, my friends, is Palm Sunday, and we use these palm branches during this day to mark an important day in Jesus' ministry, and that is the day that he enters the city of Jerusalem. And by now, many, many people had heard of him, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Galilean, and they knew, they just knew. And maybe even if they weren't quite sure, they hoped that his coming, that he was coming as their new king to save them, to set them free of the oppression that they had been experiencing for centuries at the hands of the Roman Empire and also the religious leaders of their very own communities. You see, the palm branch is a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of triumph, a symbol of peace. And the symbolism originated in the ancient Near East and Mediterranean world. In ancient Egypt, the palm even represented immortality. So it is clear that by their actions, the people that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem had, well, let's say, very high expectations. And, oh my, did those expectations turn in a hurry. Now, ultimately, the Romans were worried that Jesus might start a revolution, an uprising. And their sole duty, their entire job, was to keep the citizens of their portion of the kingdom of the empire calm. Right? Not necessarily content, but definitely compliant enough to not cause too much of a fuss. But what about those religious leaders as well? What was their beef, so to say, with Jesus? But the truth is that Jesus does begin a revolution. It's just not the kind that the Romans were expecting or that the Jewish people were even looking for. You see, Jesus did not side with the religious leaders, and he certainly didn't side with the powers of Rome. But it was a revolution that Jesus brought, but it wasn't a revolution of the sword, which is what everyone was waiting for. Rather, it was one of grace. It was a revolution of justice. It was a revolution of forgiveness and of hope. And so what Jesus really brought that created so much animosity toward him was a different definition of power. And the people who had the power did not want to give it up. You see, Jesus introduced another way, another kingdom. One that found its strength in simplicity. One that found its wealth through generosity. One that found its leadership through service. And ultimately, its power through sacrifice. Not really what the people who had the strength and the wealth and the power wanted to hear. And for those ordinary folk, Jesus had kept saying that the kingdom of God is near, and they kept looking around and they were saying, okay, well, where is it? Kind of all looks the same to me. And then they realized to experience and know this kingdom that Jesus kept talking about meant that they were going to have to change. That they were going to have to do some hard work too. That they were the ones that were going to have to do the hard work of breaking down fences, of retraining their hearts, of rewiring their minds. And this realization made them angry as well. How dare this man Jesus tell us that we are the ones that need to change? And they were so mad, in fact. Just think about this. They were so mad that they would rather have a known thief and murderer released. An insurrector, somebody who did cause riots, and a murderer released than to acknowledge that the way of Jesus Christ was the truth and that maybe they had it wrong. A true reckoning. Now, there are a lot of different people in this story that we hear today. And I wonder if we're truly honest with ourselves, are we really that much different than those who shouted for his death? Because I do think we still so often resist love and mercy and the truth of Jesus. I think we do often silence that honest voice, that we often condemn, right, that innocent agitator, that we pursue our own agendas for the sake of expediency, because Lord knows we don't like to wait. We want things to be fixed right now. Often not even recognizing that maybe the way we think it is to be fixed is not necessarily how God wants it at all. And I think sometimes we do put too much faith in institutions of power, in governments, in leaders, and even individuals. All of these people, my friends, who honestly are people just like you and me. And we do this instead of taking responsibility with the very power that God gave us in creation. Jesus is telling all the people that this ship isn't going to turn around unless we do something ourselves. And whoo boy, they didn't like the sound of that. The good news is today that we hear two prayers. We hear two prayers from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Two prayers, a prayer of forgiveness and a prayer of relinquishment. showing us that true power actually comes from the ability to forgive and to be able to let go of control. It's believed by many Christian theologians, myself included, that God gave up some of God's power to become fully human in Jesus Christ. That God gave up some of God's divine power to experience the truth of the human existence. And the word for this idea of emptying, so to speak, is kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S. And the truth is that if we are truly to have the mind of Jesus Christ, as Paul encourages us in his letter to the Philippians, then we too have to empty ourselves. We have to give up our power. We have to let go of our ego. And then we have to allow God to fill that space. On Palm Sunday, we do not focus on what we believe about Jesus. Following Jesus isn't about dogma or doctrine. But what we do is we focus on what Jesus did and what we are able to do because of what Jesus did. Jesus opened his arms to bring us toward God and toward one another. And my friends, you can't get much more open than this. And that way is that we are able in this love to live in a new way, a way where grace is our first response, where wealth is more about healthy relationships than it is about money, where justice isn't so much about punishment as it is about freeing people from oppression, where forgiveness is about life moving forward, and not about the person who harmed us. So we hear two prayers from the cross today. Two prayers from Jesus himself for us. Forgive them, God, for they do not know what they are doing. And maybe by my example of sacrifice, they will learn to relinquish their life to you. Show them, God, that they can do the same. I don't know about you, friends, but there are many days where I don't know what I'm doing. And there are many days where I really like to hold on to control. And I am grateful that Jesus said, "It's okay. Try again another day." Forgive them, God, for they know not what they are doing. And into your arms I commend my spirit. Amen.